Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Again, the words for our consideration today are the words of the Gospel text. Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus, and Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servants be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this day we have gathered to hear your word, and we too would see Jesus. Help us by your word and by the power of your Spirit, not to look at the external things, not to look at all the window dressing and the miracles and the shows of power and so forth, but help us to see who Jesus really is and to see your great glory in his suffering and dying and rising again. Sanctify us by these words. Set us apart from this world by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Fellow redeemed in Christ, in 1984, at the age of 81, Clara Peller made history with her demanding question, "Where's the beef?" Maybe you remember that. That was a very famous commercial. And I think a whole generation of people grew up asking the question, "Where's the beef?" This morning, we're not here looking in vain for a satisfying sandwich. We would see Jesus. That's what the Greeks asked of the disciples. They wanted to see Jesus. They wanted to talk to him. They wanted to know more about this miracle worker from Nazareth. Nowadays, there are many people who are looking for Jesus in the same way as that group of Greeks were all those years ago. They want to see the amazing Jesus, the worker of miracles, who can heal, who defied death, who rose up into the skies in glory. But in our heart of hearts, is it really the miracles and the glory and the power that satisfy? Is that what we really need to see? No, it's not. Dear Christians, we would see Jesus. Now, the miracles that he did were important, otherwise he wouldn't have done them. They identify who he is. The glory and power, well, they're part of who he is. But our Lord is not composed of these things. That's not what he's about. He's so much more. So much more than what our eyes would naturally be able to see. We can see displays of power and glory and might, but with our natural eyes, we cannot cut to the full truth. We would see Jesus, but how? That's an important question. Jesus must give us a new kind of eyes to see, new kind of ears to hear, eyes and ears of faith. He must reveal himself to us if we're to know him, if we're to believe him and trust him. It's up to God to make us anew and give us a new birth in the Spirit so that we can see Jesus. Jesus answered the Greeks not with a show of glory or a miracle. He certainly could have, but that was not called for. He answered instead with simple words, humble sounds in the air filled with the invisible but very real power of God. And Jesus answered the Greeks not with clever and persuasive words that made sense to their learned minds, but with this mysterious parable. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Stop and think about what the Greeks must have been thinking about when they heard Jesus speak these words. They wanted to know about Jesus, the miracle worker. They wanted to know about the source of his power to do all these fantastic things they heard he was capable of doing. But here he is, talking about death, and his own death, for that matter. They must have been wondering, what kind of greatness is this supposed to be? A great general doesn't show his power by talking about his own death. He doesn't signal victory by talking about defeat. Can this miracle worker save himself from death? How perplexing Jesus' words must have been to them. How perplexing they are to the world around us. Paul says it's foolishness to those who are perishing. Yet when we want to see Jesus, we must see more than what these eyes are capable of seeing. We must hear more than what these ears are capable of hearing by nature. We must hear and see by faith. And we must see more than just the outward appearances. We've heard these words of God. And through them, God has given us a new kind of understanding. These words are gospel, good news. And they're the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes them. Listen to him. Listen to him speak. Hear them. And remember that faith comes by hearing the word. Jesus is telling us that he dies to give us life, like a plant seed that dies in the ground as it gives life to a new plant that bears many such seeds. So it is with Christ. More than that, Jesus did die for us. He actually did this to give us life. What people saw on that dark Good Friday was a lifeless body taken down from a terrible cross. They saw Jesus placed into the tomb, and they wrongly believed that once that stone was rolled into place, that all of Jesus' works, all of his ministry, all of his miracles and his message, all of that was being put away forever. Buried and gone. That's the way the grave works, after all, isn't it? The Emmaus disciples, well, even said that Jesus was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. And then they said, but the chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was going to redeem Israel. When that stone was rolled over the mouth of the tomb, they thought that was it. Had they seen Jesus? They wanted to see him, but they were only looking with these eyes. Thankfully, Jesus opened their eyes of faith as he opens ours. And through those eyes of faith, we see a different kind of glory. It's a glory that's much more than just outward appearances. It's the glory of God's love. By faith, we see God's glorious Son, who's the perfect expression of that love. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus gave himself up to that cross willingly. He endured the most inglorious looking thing in the world to reconcile us to God and to give us real, eternal life. Believe it. Fix your eyes upon him. He went into the ground like a seed, and now we are the fruits of that sacrifice that he made. Without the crucifixion, we'd still be in our sins and trespasses. We'd be unable to see Jesus for who he truly is. All of this good news that our sins are forgiven for Jesus' sake, it would all just be foolishness to us, and we would be perishing. But by faith, we see God's glorious Son. And so we trust that he is correct when he points out our sins. We trust that God is right when he says there's no other way to be saved than through the Son of God, through Jesus Christ. We trust that it was absolutely necessary for Jesus to do what he did, to pay for our sins with his own lifeblood. That's how serious our break with God was, because of our sins, because of all those lies and terrible things and selfishnesses we've done in our lives. We trust that Jesus shed his blood for us. We trust that he didn't stay in the tomb, but he rose after 3 days. And we trust that because he arose, we too shall rise. We trust that God counts this faith that he's given to us in Christ. He counts it to us as though it were our own righteousness, when it's Jesus' righteousness. He counts it to us. That's the testament that was spoken of in the book of the prophet Jeremiah that we read. Thanks be to God that he's given us this faith. What a precious gift. Thanks be to God that we have heard his word and that we have believed him. For it is by faith that we are saved, and not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. And thanks be to God that he's given us new eyes that can see Jesus. We're God's workmanship in Christ Jesus to do good works that God prepared in advance for us to do. Dear Christians, it is our heart's desire to see Jesus. And since God has commanded us to go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation, it's also in our hearts to bring the good news of Jesus' life-giving death to all the world. Yet why is it that so often we don't do this? It's because we're still living in this body of death, all corrupted by the power of sin. With faith in our hearts, it's good for us to look upon Jesus' life-giving death with praise on our lips and thanksgiving in our hearts. But we want to see Jesus and that he's more than just a life-giver in his death. He also lives to bring death to sin. That's why he says the man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Faithful Christians, we are like little Christs. That's what Christian means in the first place. We follow in Christ's footsteps. Along the way, we carry a cross that God has given us to bear, and sometimes it's painful. It's always difficult. Our sins are certainly paid for. There's no doubt about that. But the effects linger on as long as we're in this world. But God would have us remain here and bear this cross a little while longer to tell other people about Jesus. And so as we look forward to that better place where there will be no suffering, we rejoice, even in hardship. In that sense, we hate our lives in this world, but we labor on in Christ's footsteps under the cross of worldly suffering and ridicule and persecution sometimes because we are his servants, doing his bidding, faithfully telling the world about Jesus' hidden glory and God's amazing love. That's what we're here for. And like Christ, our hearts are troubled, but we do not wish to be freed from this path. No, like Christ, we pray, Father, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Like Christ, we give our lives to be used like seeds to plant the word of God far and wide so that it might bear fruit, abundant fruit. And like Christ, we hear time and again from God in heaven that he is pleased with us. We hear it every time we come here to this place. We hear that he's forgiven us all our sins for Jesus' sake, that he loves us, that we are co-heirs with Christ, that he has promised to us heaven and all eternity. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that's what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear Christians, come and hear his word and see him. Ponder it in your hearts as Mary did. Remember your baptism when he washed you clean of your sins. See his body and blood in and with and under this sacrament of communion that's offered here. And all this by faith. Lord, we would see Jesus. Strengthen our faith. Lord, we would see Jesus. Thank you for showing him to us through those eyes of faith. We would see Jesus. Make us to see him thus more clearly, O Lord. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.